Wow. Lord, I believe that you could do in 1 minute of resting before you than you could do in a whole hour of preaching, Lord. So just come and change my heart. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, Lord. Glory. Take us deep into your presence, Lord, deep into your rest, deep into your peace, far above our understanding. We worship you, King of Kings, the righteous judge, Jesus. So good. Yeah, you're so good, Lord. Thank you. Father, I pray that you would just soften our hearts, that we would receive your word. God, let it take root, let it produce fruit. Open our hearts and challenge us today, Lord. Open our hearts and encourage us today, Lord. Bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm just reminded, even just standing here today, that in the wilderness, the Israelites were led by the cloud of glory by day and a pillar of fire by night. And during worship, I can't help but to think that God is on the move. And if we aren't moving with God, that means his cloud is going before us. And if we aren't moving with him, then we're coming out of the protection and the promises and the glory and the presence of God, not by getting it wrong, but by simply just choosing not to move. And I told Rick a few weeks ago, we were talking on the phone, and I said, Rick, the things that you've been speaking to us, and I think this just goes for the body as a whole. Listen, what we just came out of, things will just never be the same. We're just never going to go back to what was normal. And it's really the mercy of the Lord. It's really the compassion of God that he brought us into and through. It might not have originated with him, but he's going to use it for his glory. He's going to use the shutdowns and the you know, everything that seems to be rising up against him, because it's not against us. The world first hated Jesus. Why would we be surprised that they hate us? But the uprising isn't against us, it's against him. And it's the mercy of the Lord to bring us out of our comfortable places, to bring us out of our slumber, right? We prayed for this, we prayed for awakening. And then when awakening comes, we get up like, I can't believe that this is happening, you know? I had this thought. Yeah, listen, so, Lord, we've got to be on the move. God is on the move, and we can no longer choose when to and to what degree we will be obedient. I was telling Rick that the words that he's been giving us, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you were talking about, like, follow me. What does it look like to be a real disciple? He's saying things like, and I'm glad you said it first, so I didn't have to be the first one, about our opinions. And maybe that looks like a lot of us not really having too much to say any longer. So I'm glad you said it first. I'm okay to just repeat what Pastor Rick said. But it's true. Like, we're living in an hour where we can no longer afford, because even our opinions, although good, and if it's not the word of the Lord, to our degree, our opinions are self-seeking. They're self-centered. Self-focus will quench the spirit. Whether we're in prayer, we're in worship, intercession, just going about our daily life, it's possible to continue to walk in his presence, but the moment that we become fixed and focused on ourselves, it quenches the spirit of the Lord. And he's wanting to move us into places. He's wanting to bring us before kings and priests. I did not want to speak prophetically today. I was going to talk about who Micaiah was and Elisha in the scriptures. I tried to avoid this. I really didn't want to speak prophetically this morning, but this is just what I feel God is saying, and it's liberty and justice for all. And it's more than just a good line at the end of the Pledge of Allegiance. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. And what happens is when we step into a place of taking on the unrighteous judge, right? So I'm going to read out of 1 Kings chapter 3 about Solomon. And we see that these two harlots have a baby. They each have a son, right? They're prostitutes. They're prostitutes. One son dies in the middle of the night because the mother rolled over on it. And one prostitute's son lives. And when I'm reading this passage of scripture, I try to insert myself a lot of the times into the passages of scripture. And the problem with me being in Solomon's shoes would have been this. And this is, I think, a lot of us. A lot of the times we are looking at the world and saying, well, two prostitutes are arguing over whose son is alive. Neither one of you deserve it, right? That is usually our fleshly opinion. That's our fleshly judgment. But God is doing something where he's marrying wisdom and justice together. He's marrying wisdom and justice together that we will have not only just the wisdom, but we will be able to have the wisdom of God to administer kingly justice. Liberty and justice for all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, one of my favorite passages of scripture, it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then it says, but we all with unveiled face are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and that we're being transformed into his image from glory to glory. There's an aspect of freedom that is fake when we take on acting in our own flesh to become judges. Right? It's easy for us to look and to see and to say, let's just call it what it is, man. The earth is actually groaning right now for real justice. We're seeing people in the streets doing what they think is right in their eyes to bring forth justice, but what they're actually asking for is vengeance. Because outside of godly justice, the justice that the world is going after is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says, but I say to you, to pray for those who curse you, to pray and bless your enemies. You realize that this is real justice. Real justice looks like a person getting set free. And when we start to talk about people, you know, murderers, things, robbers, that's easy to say, to be a little bit more compassionate. But when we start talking about people caught up in child pornography rings and child sex trading and trafficking, well, now our judgment really kicks up a notch, and we're saying things like, man, they really deserve to rot in prison. And do you realize that they're actually just under the influence of demonic spirits? Their souls are possessed by devils. And here we are set free because, listen, although I may not have participated in those types of things, my soul was just as bound up. And it was the justice of God intervened and aimed at my life. It was the judgment of God aimed at everything that interfered with his love that when he said, I love you, broke me free into real liberty and justice. It was salvation that is real justice. It is the mercy of God that is real justice. Not our fragmented opinions and judgments aimed at things that we think should or shouldn't be. But there's a groan in the earth. And it doesn't take much to feel this groan, to hear this groan. And next thing you know, we're actually being, when we partake, listen to this, when we begin to say they should get what they deserve, that actually takes us out of kingdom position and literally puts us exactly where they are. We might not have that same type of manifestation in the things we're doing, but in our hearts and in our minds, it's taking us out of kingdom principles and promises and presence and putting us right here where they are. When we begin to judge falsely, liberty and justice for all. We are free. So back to that passage of 2 Corinthians, when it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is where our freedom has to begin. This is where our real justice begins, and it begins with this, beholding the Lord. right? Because when we see him, we can become like him. And when the meditations of our hearts are fixed and focused on the eyes of Jesus, it says that the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So our real freedom, as we sit and our hearts are postured before him in simple adoration and worship and praise, and we position ourselves to behold the beauty and the majesty and the purity and the holiness of the one true living God, our hearts are changed and transformed, that now we're beginning to be able to be carriers of this wisdom to administer justice. God cares about justice. Actually, to the degree that he says that the foundation of my throne is built upon righteousness and justice. And so we know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, God is actually looking for a people who will not only partner with his righteousness, but partner with his justice, that the fullness of his kingship, right? So we think of Jesus as king, and you guys know that's like one of my favorite things. Jesus is king, and I'm adamant about that. I will not bow to fear. I've bowed my knee to the king. But maybe, just maybe, the full kingship of Jesus is not just righteousness or not just justice, but it's together. The foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. And he's looking for a people. He's looking for a people who, listen, I believe that when we start to pray out of this place of real justice, we're going to see the real power of God released. Because when we're approaching people who need prayer, whether it be healing, deliverance, a financial blessing, we have no idea. We look at the outward appearance of men. God looks at the heart. And I don't know about you guys, but being in ministry and prayer teams and prayer lines, there's people that come to ask for financial blessing. And I can't even say that all of the times that they're asking for financial blessing or that their finances have been robbed or drained hasn't been out of their own, failure to steward their finances. But that's not my decision to say, well, man, why aren't your finances being blessed right now? Oh man, I made some bad decisions. All right, man, well, you can go. No, my job as a minister of the gospel and for all of us as ministers and ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven is to say that, you know what, you may have made bad mistakes, but I believe that the real justice of God is going to come into your life and bring increase sevenfold where the locust has destroyed. And I'm going to stand and believe with you in faith that you're going to see an increase in your life. And I guarantee you, listen, when Jesus came and reconciled us back to the Father, he did not do so through the imputing of our sins against us. When I give my life to the Lord, he doesn't come and say, Kev, man, you made a mess of yourself. Look at all this stuff you did right, wrong, and different. No, he came and he says, none of that matters. As a matter of fact, I love you. And it was the real love of God in that moment that broke into my heart that made me fall madly in love with God. We are called to that same example. This is the real justice of God. This is the real, listen, in Jeremiah chapter 4, it says that you shall swear that the Lord, he lives in truth, judgment, and in righteousness. And that same word judgment in the Hebrew is the same word used for justice. So actually, as we're looking in the earth right now, we're seeing all this stuff coming up to the surface. We're seeing all this exposing taking place. And I guarantee you, there's voices out there that think this is the judgment of God on America. Well, praise the Lord, because it's really justice. It's really bringing up the things now that we could. Kenny talked about this the other day. What a revelation that we are seeing a testing and a revealing of our hearts, that right now we're able to see what needs dealt with before we get to the final day of judgment where there's no other time to repent. Whatever you have left is it. But right now we're being tried and tested by fire, that we will see what remains and strengthen that thing. There's still time. There's still time to deal with and repent from our judgments. Jesus says, don't judge lest you be judged. In the same measure that you judge, it will be measured back to you. The depth of deception in judgment is this, that I can make a judgment towards you that you never know about. Next time I see you, I think that your thoughts towards me are judging, because it's created a fear in me now that you're going to judge me. But really, it doesn't start with you. It started with me way back here. And the problem with judgment is it never moves towards reconciliation. It always moves to create greater division. So in the movements that we're seeing, justice, no peace, we want real justice. No, actually what you're asking for is vengeance, and you're creating a greater space between what's now in unity. But we do the same things. I do the same thing. I'm not even talking to you guys necessarily. I'm talking to myself. I do the same thing. And it's easy that in this moment, we get to see the real condition of my heart. Is it really bent towards manifesting who I am in Christ? Or am I saying these things and moving towards these people? Listen, self-judgment always has self-motives behind it. It's a position of pride that we think that we are above what we're seeing take place, and that's just not the case. But by the grace of God, there I go. But by the grace of God, there I go. God is pouring out favor. God is giving his church, his bride, power and anointing. When I was taking my boating test, one of the questions to get my boating license, one of the questions on there was about the wake of the boat. And I want to say this to us today. The more favor you have, the greater your call, the greater your anointing, the more costly your mistakes. What I mean by that is the greater position that we hold in Christ, and all of us are in him fully. But as we grow and we're being sanctified and separated to a greater degree, greater anointing and favor could be poured out onto our life. The greater favor that we actually have, the more costly our mistakes are. Because not only, we're not just talking about influence with men. We're talking about influence in heavenly realms. We're talking about, we're up against powers and principalities in heavenly places. So therefore, when we begin to have this favor poured on us, the power and the glory that God is giving to the church, if we don't stop with our judgments, not even against the world, but against each other, the brethren, the complaining, the murmuring, the gossiping, we're actually setting in motion a wake that is going to destroy things way over here that we don't even know about. If I take my boat and I go flying past the dock, maybe I'm in a no-wake zone, and I go flying down the lake, and my wake destroys something on somebody else's parked boat, it's my responsibility legally to fix it. The same thing happens in the spirit. This is the same thing that happens as Christians. The greater the favor, the anointing, the calling, the position that we have in God, the more costly our mistakes are to the world around us. The Father is looking to trust his heart to people, but he's not going to trust us with his heart unless he can trust us with our own tongues. We cannot speak for, we're not going to get salt water and fresh water out of the same streams. We are not going to be able to go and pick figs from a grapevine, and we're not going to get grapes from a fig tree. Neither should it be that we're speaking blessing and cursing out of our same mouth. How is it that we're going to expect to receive anything from the Lord if we are believing him to do something and then speaking doubt? Or it actually says in James that man is a double-minded man, insecure in all of his ways. In all of his ways. We want our brothers and sisters to be blessed and prosper. And then when we see them blessed and prosper, at least sometimes I look and get envious, or I say, man, why couldn't I have had that blessing? What I'm actually doing is I'm holding up and restraining the blessing of God from coming into my life. God is looking for a people to trust his heart with, but he's not going to trust his heart to us unless we can be trusted with our own tongues. Esther chapter 4, 14. I just want to read this one verse here to us. On Pentecost, I had prophesied and I said that I believe that God has been giving us a greater spirit of boldness, because for a while we've been feeling this this welling up within us that we can just no longer stay silent. And God is giving us a boldness to be able to walk out the things that he's calling us to. And with that boldness, there's a greater level of grace that's coming upon our life. So grace isn't just the permission to sin and it be okay. Grace is the gift from God that enables us to walk out his calling, his purposes for our life. But I want to read this because we've got to understand at times that things will just never be the same. And I don't mean that we're just going to constantly have 6 feet between our chairs. That in the spiritual realm, things will just never be the same. We will never be able to go back to, you will be able to if you choose to, but the choice to stay awake, we've got to be conscious of the choice to stay awake. Because if we want to go back to our comfortable way of living and acting like, and just kind of getting in line with everything else that's taking place, we're going to be right back asleep. And I almost am thankful for the uncomfortableness that God is bringing us through because it's causing us to wake up. Chapter 4, 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? And I feel like there's such a weightiness on this. Listen, whether you want to be silent or not, it's up to you. But God will raise up another. He will. Listen, God's people are going to be delivered. Whether you want to be a part of that calling or not is entirely up to you. And if you don't, that's okay. If you choose to remain silent, he will pass you by and he will raise up another. Because his purpose is going to be fulfilled one way or another. His word is not going to return void. Rain and snow come down from heaven and water the earth, but they don't return. His word will never return void. There's a great calling on our lives. And the Lord, going back to boldness, he says that a lot of times that we want to feel bold before we go into a situation that would require boldness. A lot of the times I would like to feel like super strong and bold going into a place where I know I'm going to need boldness. But the Lord is saying that you will grow as you go. We have my buddy in Florida, we have a joke that's, I'm sure I shared this with you guys before, where I'll just feel like the Lord highlights somebody to me and I'm like, man, I gotta go talk to that person. And he's always like, well, man, what are you going to say? I'm like, I don't know, man. I'll find out when I get there. Like, I have no idea what it is that I'm going to say to this person other than while I'm walking up to them, I'm asking for the heart of the Father for them. And it's when I get there, God has never failed me one time, whether it be a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, insight into their life, just an encouraging word. He has never failed me one time when I've been obedient to go, even though I didn't feel bold way back here. When I got to where I needed to go, I had grown in my boldness. And the Lord is just saying to us today, listen, you don't have to have this Esther moment right now to where you need to stand before kings and have exactly the right things to say at the exact right time. The only thing that we have to be willing to do is just go. We just have to be willing to go. If you remain silent, completely silent at this time, listen, relief and deliverance is going to arise. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to be part. I want to be part of the army of God. I want to be part of what God is doing in the earth. And if the cloud is moving, that means I need to move. If that's taking me deeper into the wilderness, let me tell you something. I would be far better off tucked away in the cloud deeper in the wilderness than I would be being comfortable, you know, back in Egypt. That's just a greater deception. That's just a greater place and a greater need from deliverance back here where it was comfortable than out here in the wilderness, completely relying on God for every need, everything that we are asking for. It's time. It's time to open our voice. It's time to open our mouth. Listen, let's go to 1 Kings really quickly. 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's see, is that New or Old Testament? I'm just kidding. Just get him out of here. I'm just kidding. 1 Kings chapter 3. Thank you, Father. Listen, I have a note here. I want to read this to us. I believe that not only is God calling us to administer real justice, but I also believe that he wants to bring real justice into our life. And I feel the mercy and the compassion of a loving Father on this. But just like Israel, who was looking for a king to come, they had an idea of how the king would come, and they completely missed the fact that Jesus rode in on a donkey. Justice may not come to you in the way it was taken, but it will come in the way that will bring the greatest advancement of the kingdom of God through your life. So seemingly what was removed in an act of injustice, the enemy stole, taken away, whatever it might have been, we cannot look for those things to return into our life the same way that they were taken. But we can have this promise that God is going to restore those things back to our life in the degree that it's going to cause the kingdom of God to be advanced greater in our life. And it's a heart check. Are we after and asking for God to restore to us those things that were taken for our own self-benefit, for our own self-gratification, or are our hearts truly turned towards kingdom purpose? I'm going to start to read. Let's see here. We'll start to read in verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he had sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." Listen, Solomon isn't saying that he's so young that he's like a child. He's saying that in his heart, the things that he was called to, he's almost saying here, "Lord, I know you've called me to this thing, but I literally have no idea what I'm doing." He's admitting to the Lord that he's a man of humility. Verse 8, "And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" I want to make a point before I go on. Solomon's request wasn't, and we'll read this because the Lord recognizes this. But as I was reading this passage of scripture, I found out that Solomon is asking for an understanding heart. He's asking for discernment to be able to discern between good and evil because of God's people being too numerous to count. So his heart cry wasn't for himself. He literally carried in him such a compassion and such a desire for the people of God that when I don't know about you guys, but if the Lord asks me in a dream, "What do you want?" I hope my first response is with y'all in mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope that in a dream, and that's truly my heart though. And as I begin to see this unfolding, Solomon is asking for something to benefit God's people. It wasn't out of his selfish ambitions. The speech pleased the Lord so that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, you have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice." Now, this whole time that I've always thought that when Solomon was asked this question, I've always thought he just asked for wisdom. Like, I just thought his one request to the Lord was like, "Lord, give me wisdom," and the Lord gave him wisdom. I didn't understand the fullness of what he was asking. He's asking not only just for wisdom for wisdom's sake, he's asking for understanding and discernment to administer justice. "Behold, I have done according," verse 12, "behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." J- just for the sake of time, I want to move on to the one of the very last verses here, but I want to explain to you what happens next. Again, so it's this whole thing that God ends up giving Solomon this understanding, this wise and discerning heart to administer justice. And the very thing that he asked for, the Lord gives him and then brings him into a place that he's going to need to immediately use what God has given him. I want to just point out something here in verse 15. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offering up burnt sacrifices, offering peace offerings, and made a fast for all of his servants. Listen, when he was awoke, he began to walk. As we are being awakened, we must begin to walk out what God is calling us to do, or we will fall right back asleep. Solomon is confronted with this situation again where there's two harlots. Each one has a son. Each one bores a son. The one harlot falls asleep and rolls over on the child and kills it. And the other lady, you know, baby does not die in the middle of the night. The one whose baby dies in the middle of the night gets up. They lived in the same house, switches out the babies, put the baby that had died at the woman's, you know, taking the son that's alive as her own. The lady whose son did not die wakes up in the morning, goes to feed her son, and realizes that he's dead. One, two, it's not hers. This is not my son. The other lady had snatched the baby, went back, and she was just acting like nothing even happened. They bring this case before Solomon. Solomon stands here and he's hearing, okay, you tell me what happened. In his ultimate godly wisdom, he does something profound. Listen, the wisdom of God is probably going to look like foolishness to the world, because what he does next to any of us would probably look foolish. He says, hey, guards, bring me your sword. The guard brings a sword. He says, okay, now what we're going to do, we're going to cut this living baby in half, give one half to this lady and give the other half to this lady. The lady who baby had died or was still alive says, this is really her child, says, no, don't cut the baby in half. Don't cut the baby in half. Let her have it. The other lady says, you know what? That sounds like a great idea. Go ahead and cut the baby in half. You take a half and I take a half. What happens is the one woman's response was out of a place of bitterness. See, bitterness will say, I would rather neither one of us have it than you have what rightfully belongs to you. The world is in a place of bitterness right now and they're looking for real justice. But we as the Christians are saying, listen, no, Lord, have mercy. Don't take and kill what they have, even though it may be things that they had stolen from us, Lord, we would much rather that you would have mercy on them. Don't kill what they have, God. We pray that you would just bring them into an understanding of who you really are. Out of this response he says, okay, we'll take that alive baby. This is the real mother. And they go on about their day. This was the part that really stuck out to me. Very last verse 28. And this is the kind of wisdom that I believe that the world is going to begin to see and hear in us. And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. To administer justice. We're talking liberty and justice for all. But we cannot do it without the wisdom of God in us. And we cannot do it without our hearts being aligned to not just ask for things that would momentarily benefit us, but for the church, the bride, God's people. The entire earth is groaning and looking for justice. And far be it from me, Lord, that I speak forth judgments that don't align with your heart. I want to be trusted with the heart of God. Therefore, I want to learn how to tame my own tongue. Let's all stand. Listen, I want to take time and minister to you individually. If you have things that you know that you need the Lord to meet, if you need healing in your body, I'm believing for the justice of God to be released. the justice of God is actually what makes all things wrong right. And it's not in our own eyes. This is in the eyes of the righteous King. Sickness is an injustice. Bondage is an injustice to God's people. So, Father, I pray even right now, Lord, that you would search our hearts. God, I pray that even in this moment, Lord, that we just take a moment, we pause, and Father, we repent. Lord, we repent even right now, God. I ask that you would forgive me for all the times, Lord, that I have made judgments based upon my own righteousness, Lord. God, please forgive me for every time that I've pointed out the speck in my brother's eye when I've got a log in mine. Forgive us of our judgments, Lord. Lord, and I pray that you would teach us how to tame our own tongues. Lord, let us be a people hungry for the heart of the Father, trusted with our own tongues. Lord, in us, I pray for understanding and discernment, that we would be able to discern from good and evil. Lord, in a day when good is called evil and evil is good, give us understanding and discerning hearts this morning, Father, that we would be carriers of righteousness and justice, Lord, that in our person we would carry the fullness of the kingship of Jesus Christ. Lord, put in us this wisdom from above, that we would be able to administer godly kingdom justice. Father, let us be a voice. Let us be a voice of real justice in the earth, God. That we would see healing and salvation and deliverance, God. Father, I even just pray right now for every prodigal son and daughter. Lord, I pray for just the wisdom and the justice of the King to be administered in their life to the degree that they come running home. Lord, I pray for healing. If you have felt judged in your heart by others, Lord, I pray even now for just a healing balm, God, to go into the depths of our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, Lord, to just bring healing to areas of injustice. And we are believing that you are a good, good Father. We believe that you are the Lord of hosts and that you desire justice in the earth. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, God. Yeah. Lord, I just pray you just release your power in this place, Lord, even now. Jesus. Thank you, God. Yeah. Jesus. I don't know if this is for somebody in here or not, but I just pray the justice of God over your dream life. The nightmares, the torment, I command it to cease and stop now in Jesus' name, and that the justice of God would be revealed and released in your dream life, that you will wake, that you will encounter the Lord in the night, that you will have dreams and visions of heaven, that God will speak to you and you will awaken with wisdom to administer justice. So, Father, we love you. We bless you. God, we praise your name, Father. We thank you for Micaiah's life, just corporately. Lord, we thank you for who he is and what you've called him to. And help us all to any degree that we're involved in his life, God, be good stewards of that call and promise. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you and we bless you in Jesus' name, amen.